gentlemen, Ed Bousman, Lynchburg, Ohio, and the God Is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast. It is written, all the churches of Christ salute you. It is written, the Son of Man is Lord, even of the Sabbath. It is written, and Jesus, seeing their faith, saith unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins are forgiven. It is written, but that ye may know that the Son of Man hath authority on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise, take up thy bed, and go unto thy house. It is written, and the Pharisees said unto him, behold, why do they on the Sabbath that which is not lawful? It came to pass, as he was sitting in the house, many publicans and sinners sat down with Jesus and his disciples. For there were many, and they followed him. And the scribes of the Pharisees, when they saw that he was eating with the sinners and publicans, said unto his disciples, how is it that he eateth and drinketh with publicans and sinners? And when Jesus heard it, he saith unto them, they that are whole have no need of a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners. Buried beneath the yielding wave, the great Redeemer lies. Faith views him in the watery grave, and thence beholds him rise. With joy we in his footsteps tread, and would his cause maintain. Like him be numbered with the dead, and with him rise and reign. Now, blessed Redeemer, we to thee our grateful voices raise. Washed in the fountain of thy blood, our lives shall be thy praise. Listen to this message entitled, The Son of Man. Jesus called himself the Son of Man twice in the second chapter of Mark. The first time was in regards to the healing of the paralytic who was let down by four men through the roof into the presence of the Lord. And he said, the Son of Man hath authority on earth to forgive sins. The second time was when he said, the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. There are 85 times in the 89 chapters of the Gospel record that Jesus referred to himself as the Son of Man. He called himself the Son of Man almost one time for every chapter in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. No one else called him that. But he often referred to himself by that title, the Son of Man. And here is the first reference in Mark chapter 2. When he returned again to Capernaum, it was noised that he was in the house. The house was filled even to the doors, and he spake the word unto them. And there came unto him a man sick of the palsy, born of four. They could not get to the Lord because of the crowd. Now, sometimes a crowd will keep people from seeing the Lord. Somebody always stands in the way. Sometimes they stand in the way by the example of lifestyle of the members of the church. In most churches, there is not too much difference in the life of the Christian than anyone else. Their lungs are full of the same smoke. Their bellies are full of the same booze. They use the same foul language. Their dress, or lack of it, is the same as the attire of the world. As Jesus said of the hypocrites of his time on earth, they shut the kingdom of heaven against men. They enter not in themselves, neither suffer they them that are entering in to enter. And then there are some times when the preacher stands in the way with a garbled, incomplete message. The four men who brought him were not to be denied, however. They took him up on the roof and made an opening and let him down into the presence of Jesus. There are many people who will never find salvation without the help of others. It took four men to bring this one man to Christ. The Lord himself only knows how many people it takes to bring this radio message to the multiplied thousands in many parts of the world. When the Lord saw the man with the palsy coming down through the ceiling, he said, "Son, be of good cheer. Thy sins are forgiven thee." They brought this man to Jesus for a healing, but there was something that he needed more, and that was forgiveness of sin. This man was not unlike many today. The people who brought him did not bring him for forgiveness, but for healing. They came by hundreds during the ministry of Jesus for healing in the gospel story, but only four or five came looking for salvation. We get hundreds of letters and requests for prayers of healing in the American audience, but very few who write ask for the way of salvation. In the audience overseas, we get hundreds of letters from people asking for the way of salvation and not for healing. Actually, we have scriptural precedent for both types of prayers. Nehemiah prayed that he might not die from an incurable disease, and his prayer was answered, and the rich young ruler asked for information on how to be saved. However, he did not take the advice when he heard it. So what else is new? When Jesus told the man he was forgiven of his sins, the scribe standing by said that Jesus had blasphemed. "No one can forgive sins but God." Jesus said, "Which is easier to say, 'Thy sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Arise and walk'?" Jesus then referred to himself as the Son of Man when he told them, "That ye may know that the Son of Man hath authority on earth to forgive sins." Then saith he to the sick of the palsy, "Arise, take up thy bed, and go unto thy house." Any man can claim authority on behalf of God and say, "I absolve you." But can he take up thy bed? Can he say, "Take up thy bed and walk," as proof that he has this power? If he cannot say, "Take up thy bed and walk," then how do you know that pardon of sins actually takes place when he says, "I absolve you"? The scribes were right in one thing when they asked who could forgive sins but God only. Jesus gave proof that the Son of Man was God and had authority to forgive sins on earth by saying, "Take up thy bed and walk." And by the way, that is the only place where he does forgive sins, right here on earth. If you are not forgiven while on earth, you will not be forgiven after you die. I was present at a memorial service one time, and during the evening, a, quote, clergyman, unquote, stood at the casket and invited all who would to come forward, and he would pray for the soul of the departed. Well, his prayers would not do the deceased any good. If he was not saved before he died, there is no power that any prayer of a person on earth could pray that could change his whereabouts after he died. Jesus settled that matter once and for all in the story of he told the rich man and Lazarus. The rich man died and was buried, and in Hades he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. He prayed that Lazarus might be sent to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in anguish in this flame. He prayed also that Lazarus might go back and testify unto his brothers, lest they come to this place of torment. Abraham informed him that there was a great gulf between the saved and the lost, and that none could pass over one to the other. Abraham also informed him that if his brothers did not believe the word of God, they would not believe even if one arose from the dead. While Jesus was here on earth, he could forgive whomever he pleased. He was born of woman and born under the law. After his death on the cross and resurrection, the New Testament was given and the law of Calvary for forgiveness was, "Repent ye and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Remember, the Lord told him to be of good cheer. Thy sins are forgiven thee. This was before he was healed. If you are forgiven, you can be of good cheer, even if you have a terminal disease and never recover. Jesus did not die to save us from heart attacks and cancers. He died to save us from sin. And if you are forgiven, be of good cheer, whether you're sick or not. The Son of Man still has authority to forgive sins right here on earth. Now here is the second time in this chapter that Jesus called himself the Son of Man. He said the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. This was brought on by the action of the apostles working on the Sabbath day. The Pharisees figured out that if a person walked more than 7/8 of a mile on the Sabbath, he was working. Actually, they were not working. The Pharisees had made up some peculiar additions to the law of the Sabbath that God never had in mind. The disciples were going through grain fields on the Sabbath day and were plucking ears and began to eat, and they were charged by the Pharisees with thrashing wheat on the Sabbath day. As far as the Pharisees were concerned, they might as well have used a modern-day tractor and combine when they plucked the ears and rubbed the grain in their hands. There are many today that are all fouled up, also on the Sabbath day. Jesus said that he, the Son of Man, was Lord of the Sabbath. Now there's a difference in the Sabbath day and the Lord's day. In the second chapter of Genesis, Moses informed us that God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. The Sabbath comes at the end of the week and was honored because God had completed his work of creation. God was not tired. He was just finished with his work of creation. On the other hand, the Lord's Day is honored because it is the day when God's work of redemption for the human race was completed. The Sabbath came on the last day of the week, and the Lord's Day comes on the first day of the week. Another item regarding the Sabbath was when Moses told Israel why they were to keep the Sabbath day. In Deuteronomy 5, remember that thou wast a servant in the land of Egypt, and that the Lord thy God brought thee out. Therefore, the Lord thy God commanded thee to keep the Sabbath day. The Sabbath day was a celebration of delivery from slavery from the land of Egypt. Since we were never slaves in the land of Egypt, the Sabbath day does not apply to us. However, we have been delivered from a more cruel bondage. We were slaves to sin under our master, Pharaoh Devil. But the Lord Jesus, by his resurrection on the first day of the week, delivered us from the bondage of sin. No wonder John could say, "And I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day." It is on the Lord's day, the first day of the week, that Christians assemble to observe the Lord's Supper and celebrate our deliverance. Some observe the Lord's Supper on Saturday night and call it Sunday morning. No wonder the churches are confused. The Son of Man is still the Lord of the Sabbath day and the Lord's day. However, we as Christians do have a Sabbath day. It is not the Sabbath day of the Old Testament, nor is it the Lord's day of the New Testament. Paul refers to the Christian's Sabbath day in Hebrews 5, when he speaks of heaven. There remaineth therefore a Sabbath rest for the people of God. Let us therefore give diligence to enter into that rest, that no man fall short after the same example of disobedience. The Christian Sabbath will be heaven. There our labor on earth will be completed. There we can celebrate our deliverance from Pharaoh devil. There our hard toil under the burden of sin and death will be over. Truly, because of Calvary, the Son of Man is Lord of the everlasting Sabbath of heaven. And now this in conclusion. Jesus used this title, Son of Man, twice in this chapter. But remember, he used that title 85 times in the gospel record of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Almost one time for every chapter. This was a name that Jesus called himself. No one else called him that. The title is suggested in the 8th chapter of Psalms, the 5th verse. He was made a little lower than the angels and crowned with glory and honor. Jesus liked to use this title for himself. It was a humiliating title for deity. When Jesus used it, it indicated his meekness. God Almighty, referring to himself as a man. It underscored the virgin birth. On the other hand, his miracles proved his divinity, walking on the water, feeding thousands with a few loaves and fishes, predicting the finding of a coin in a fish's mouth, stilling the tempest, raising the dead. All of these signs proclaimed him as the Son of God. But Jesus did not want us to forget that he lived in a human body. He would die in that body for the sins of the world. That human body would be raised up from the dead, for it was not possible that the bonds of death should hold him. He reminded us of his kinship with us when he said, "The foxes have holes, and the birds of the heaven have nest. But the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head." He used the title Son of Man evangelistically when he told the story of the man who went forth to sow good seed in his field. He identified the sower of the good seed as the Son of Man. The Son of Man sows the good seed through this broadcast, through the preaching of the Word. Jesus used the title Son of Man to give the reason for his coming into the world. When he said, at the time he met Zacchaeus, he said, "The Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost." And again he said, "The Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many." And then he also used that title, Son of Man, to assure us of his authority to forgive sins, when in this chapter, as we've already mentioned, when he said, "The Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins." Jesus also used that title, Son of Man, several times in speaking of his death on the cross. In Matthew 20, "And as they were going up to Jerusalem, he took the 12 disciples apart and said unto them, 'Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, And the Son of Man is delivered unto the chief priests and scribes, and they shall condemn him to death, and deliver him to the Gentiles to mock and to scourge and to crucify, and the third day he shall be raised up. And then again in John 3, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Jesus even reminds us at the judgment day, it would be a man that would sit on the throne of judgment. His words were, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the angels with him, then shall he sit on the throne of his glory. And in the rest of the judgment scene, he refers to himself as the King. The man they crucified, the man they spit upon, and the man that many reject as a Savior will be the very man that will sit in judgment on resurrected humanity. Also to Caiaphas, when he was put under oath, he identified himself by saying, henceforth, ye shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of God and coming on the clouds of heaven. And in Matthew 16, for the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then shall he render unto every man according to his works. It is a man that will sit in judgment on the human race. And since it is a Son of Man who will sit on the throne of judgment, no one will be able to say on that day, Lord, you did not know how it feels and how it felt to live in a third world country. You didn't know how it feels to suffer temptation. You didn't know how it felt to be accused of crimes you never committed. To this, the Son of Man will be able to say, been there, done that. 85 times Jesus is called the Son of Man in the Gospel writers. However, there is one exception, and that one exception is in the book of Acts. He is called the Son of Man once by a man. At the stoning of Stephen, he looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God, and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. And he said, behold, I see the heaven open, and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. What an encouragement at that time to see Jesus as a man who could understand the sacrifice Stephen was making, and he stood to welcome the first Christian martyr home. That reminds us of the way Paul tells us to pray. He said, we have not a high priest who cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but one who was tempted in all points like as we are, and yet without sin. Jesus, the Son of Man, knows how we feel when being tempted. Paul tells us in 1 Timothy, there is one God and one mediator between man and God, himself man, Christ Jesus. The Son of Man is the only mediator between God and man. I read of an entertainer one time who had a terminal disease, and he spent much time in prayer to Saint Antony. Saint Antony, nor any other saint, including Mary, the mother of Jesus, cannot be a mediator between you and the Father. There is only one who has the ear of the Father, and that one is the Son of Man, Christ Jesus. There is yet one more reference that I must mention, and that is in Matthew 16. It is there that the title Son of Man and Son of God mesh together. Jesus asked the apostles, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? They named several prophets of the past, including John the Baptist. The only way men had to explain Jesus was by the resurrection from the dead. Jesus asked them, who say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And there you have both names put together. Who do you say Jesus is? He is the Son of God, and he is the Son of Man. What a powerful moment in our lives when we made the good confession as Peter made it. Paul reminded Timothy that he had made the confession before many witnesses and then said, I charge thee before God in Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed the good confession that thou keep the commandment holy and without blemish, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall show in his own time, who is the blessed and only potentate, King of kings and Lord of lords, who only hath immortality, dwelling in light unapproachable, whom no man hath seen nor can see. To him be honor and power eternal. Amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to another God is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast brought to you each week at the same time by Churches of Christ and Christian churches who are concerned about your soul's salvation. The address, Ed Bousman, Bousman, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio 45142. Only as you reach back to us with your letters of support can we reach out to you with the gospel as it was preached in the days of the apostles. The address again, Ed Bousman, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio 45142. Check out our website, edbousman.org. Praise the Lord, pass the ammunition. Tell somebody, somehow and in some way, that God is just a prayer away.